We're going to get our Bibles open or your electronic devices, and we're going to be reading this morning once again from the letter of Philemon. You'll find that on page 1200. If you do need a paper Bible, then please bring one, or put your hand up, sorry, and one of our team will bring you one. There's one at the front down here, if that's okay. That's good, we're done. A couple up there. Page 1200 in the church Bibles. And today Chris is going to be reading that to us. We're going to read the whole letter every week because it's quite short. Just before Chris reads it to us, just to refresh our memory of what it is that we're reading. So this letter of Philemon is a very personal letter. It is a letter from the Apostle Paul, who perhaps to many of us will need no introduction. It's written to a man named Philemon, who is who's a believer in the Lord Jesus. He seems to be fairly well-to-do. He owns a home, and a church meets in his home. And it's a very specific request asking for Philemon to welcome home a man named Onesimus, who's a runaway slave who's wronged Philemon. And it's a letter to ask him to welcome him home. And it's all on the basis of love. Philemon, because you have been loved, we think you should love too. And so that's what we're going to listen into. Chris is going to read it to us, and then we'll have a think about it together.
Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Thanks, Chris. Well, keep that open in front of you, and let's pray together and seek God's help as we come to think about this letter again. I read this morning in Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Heavenly Father, you have done good things for us. This letter, which we have on our laps and are thinking about together, shows something of the great things that you do for us. Father, we would ask today that you would fill us with joy as we see what you've done for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me give you something to think about as we begin to come back and look at this letter again. Here's what I want you to think about for a few moments. Who is it in your world, in your life, that you would least expect to see walk into this room on a Sunday morning and to sit down next to you? Now, I guess we could all come up with big names, celebrities perhaps, or they'd never come in, or you know, kind of big characters from history. But I'm talking about your world. The people you rub shoulders with every day, family perhaps, friends, neighbors, work colleagues. Who is it that you would least expect to see walk into church and take a seat next to you? Or perhaps you can think about it another way. Perhaps you can think about it, maybe church isn't too big a barrier, but who is it that you would least expect to turn round to you and say, I've become a follower of Jesus? I've discovered who he finally is, and it's changed my world. Who is it that you would least expect to come and say that to you? Now, just give you a moment to think about that. It would help you this morning if you have some names on your list, in your head, as we think together. Because my guess is that if Philemon was sitting among us today, if we were in Philemon's local church, the name that might have been in his head is the name Onesimus. To Philemon, to the household that it belongs to Philemon, to the church that meets in his home, Onesimus is probably the person that they would least expect to see walk through the door and to sit down in church with them. Onesimus is probably the person that they least expected to walk in and say, hey, do you know what, Philemon? I've become a follower of Jesus, and he's totally changed my life. You see, as we piece it together from this letter, and that's the thing about this letter, we've seen it over a few weeks, but it's tantalizingly sparse in the details of what's happened, isn't it? And you kind of have to work it out. But as we piece this letter together, Onesimus was a runaway slave. Onesimus had broken the law. You could call him a runaway rebel. He had rejected Philemon and as his owner. He'd wounded Philemon. He was broken the law because he'd run away, and he had sins to hide. And here was a man that had legged it from home. And on the surface, Philemon is a man who probably looks like he wants nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Here is a man who seems only to be concerned for himself and his own well-being. A rotten, runaway rebel. Now, why would someone like that ever walk into church? Why would someone like that ever become a follower of the Lord Jesus? Now, I guess that as we sit here this morning, many of us will have Onesimuses in our lives. People that we immediately kind of think about or lean towards and say, actually, these are the kind of people that I would least expect to see walk into church. The kind of people that I would least expect to hear ever tell me, Nathan, I've become a follower of the Lord Jesus. Dare I say it, and of course we'd never articulate this out loud, but maybe in our hearts we think, these are the kind of people that I'm not sure Jesus would show love to. And I want to say to you this morning that maybe the Onesimuses are not out there for you. Maybe you're in church this morning and it's not that you're concerned for the people around you thinking, well, they'll never come to church. That the sort of thing you're thinking is, well, maybe that's me. Why would Jesus ever love someone like me? If you knew, perhaps some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking, if you knew the things that I'd done in my life, if you knew some of the things that I'm hiding from others, if you'd known just something of my story, then you'd be thinking, well, why would Jesus love me? Why would Jesus love that person? Maybe you feel like an Onesimus this morning. But the reality, friends, is however we feel, whether we can name Onesimuses around us, thinking they'll never come to thing, whether you feel like an Onesimus, the reality is what God is communicating with us this morning through this book is that you are an Onesimus. I am an Onesimus. You see, the reality is that in Onesimus, in this character, in this letter, is a mirror. There's something of Onesimus in each of us. We are runaway rebels. We have run away from God. We have run from Him and from Him as Lord and God of our lives. Now, that will have expressed itself in different ways in all of our lives, but the Bible tells us by nature we are runaways. Runaways from God. We are rebels. We have wronged God. We have wronged Him by ignoring Him. We've wronged Him with our behavior. We are runaway rebels, and like Onesimus, we are in trouble. We're in trouble with God because God is the authority. You see, each of us in this room, all of us in humanity, is an Onesimus. And we are the least likely. You know, maybe we tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, don't we? It's a trait that we have. But we are the least likely. I am the least likely to be in church. I am the least likely to be loved by the Lord Jesus. And when we begin to see something of this Onesimus character, maybe in the people around us, the least likeliest to come to church, maybe you're feeling as an Onesimus this morning, or whether you're not feeling like an Onesimus, I want to tell you this morning that we are an Onesimus. And therefore, what does this letter show us? What is Philemon seeing as Onesimus walks back through the door, as Onesimus kind of takes his seat in this house church, as the church looks on and sees what's happened to Philemon? What are we seeing? Well, I want to show you this morning that what this letter is putting before us and putting before Philemon is what I want to call Jesus' life-changing love for runaway rebels. Jesus' life-changing love for runaway rebels. Something has happened to Onesimus. Something's changed. Onesimus has experienced somewhere in his journey, and we're going to think about this in a while, somewhere in his journey, he has experienced the life-changing love of the Lord Jesus, and he has changed. Now, what is this love? What is this love that Jesus throws at runaway rebels like Onesimus? What is this love that has changed Onesimus and changes people like us? Well, I want to show you very quickly three things about this love this morning. Here's the first thing. This love of Jesus means that he gives us a new start. See, look at verse 10 with me. See, Paul's speaking. He is appealing to Philemon. He says that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Paul tells Philemon that Onesimus has become his son. Now, literally, in the original language that this letter was written in, that literally means he has become the parent of, he has, and I know we don't use language like this, but he has begat this man, Onesimus. He's begat him, he's become a parent of him. It's exactly the language that we use when someone gives birth. They've become the parent of this child. Now, that's probably very odd language to us, isn't it? It's the language of birth. It's the language of a new beginning. So what does Paul mean when he's telling Philemon, this man, Onesimus, has become my son? Does he mean he's adopted him? Well, no. This is Paul's language for those who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through his preaching. So Paul has proclaimed Jesus to Onesimus, and Onesimus has said, yes. See, we don't really know what happened in the story behind this. We can only guess. We can only piece it together. I'm guessing that one day when we get to heaven, we might actually be able to ask, did we get anywhere near what actually happened when we preached this letter in church? But actually, what we do understand is that God so ordered Onesimus' steps. You see, you get a hint of that in verse 15, okay? Look in verse 15. So Paul uses this word, perhaps. Perhaps for this reason, this was the reason he was separated from you. There's something mysterious. God has ordered something, which means that Onesimus has come into contact with the Apostle Paul, and Paul has preached the good news of Jesus to him. See, Paul will have preached to Onesimus, Onesimus, you're doing the wrong thing. Onesimus, you're a runaway. And Onesimus, you're not just running away from Philemon. You're not just doing the wrong thing by him, but you're a runaway from God, Onesimus. Actually, running away from Philemon just shows something about your own heart. And he will have preached to Philemon, to Onesimus, sorry, judgment to come. He will have said, Onesimus, look, you're in big trouble. If you carry on this lifestyle, if you carry on running away from God, you're in trouble with God. And then Paul would have looked Onesimus in the eye and he would have said to him, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the love of this man, the Son of God, who came into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Let me tell you about the cross. Let me tell you about this occasion which to the watching on world looked a bleak moment, but there hung Jesus, his life for your life, Onesimus. But he didn't stay dead. He rose. He rose to life 3 days later and he reigns. He's seated in heaven. And Onesimus, what is he doing today? He is welcoming runaway rebels home. He's embracing them. He's loving them. He's forgiving them. He's wiping the slate clean and he's giving them a new start. Jesus, through the preaching of Paul, and please understand this. See, God, the Lord Jesus uses people who proclaim that message, whether that's you declaring it in the places that God has put you, or whether it's being declared from a pulpit. Through this means, the Lord Jesus from heaven is hounding down Onesimuses to say, I love you and I want you home. And Onesimus, when he encountered Paul, however that happened, whatever part of the journey that was, Onesimus believed. He said, wow, is that true? Does Jesus really love someone like me? Is it possible that me, who's done all these things, who has all these sins to hide, who's wronged Philemon, is it possible that someone like me can be loved? Yes. And Onesimus believed. You see, a follower of Jesus is something that you become. It's something that you are, as it were, birthed into, new birthed into. It is this moment where you hear the gospel and you believe. And you are granted a fresh life, a fresh start, a new beginning. The slate is wiped clean. Whatever it is that you think you've got to hide here today from others or from God, when you come to the Lord Jesus, his love means that that is gone. It is paid for. See, Jesus says to a man named Nicodemus in John's Gospel, listen to what he says. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus, in his love for runaway rebels, gives us a new start, a new life, a new beginning. How does he do it? How is he doing it today? As he brings people into contact with those who are going to tell them about Jesus. Brings them into contact with what we read in the pages of this book. That's how Onesimus came to believe. And when we believe, he gives us new life, new birth, a new start, restored rebels, restored runaways. Can I ask you this morning, has Jesus in his love given you a new start? Has Jesus in his love given you a clean slate? Wiped all that you've got to hide away? Have you believed the gospel of God's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I ask some of you this morning, do you want a new start? Do you want a clean slate with God? Because Jesus in his love holds out his hands to you and he says, I can give it to you. That's why I came. That's why I went to the cross. Jesus, in a love that took him to the cross for us, gives us new birth, and he gives it to the most unlikely of people. See, we think, well, yeah, perhaps he'll give it to us. But no, he gives it to us because we're Onesimuses. Most unlikely of people he gives it to. It's literally life-changing. And when I was at school, I remember one of my favorite subjects was design and technology, okay? And that was one of my big things as a kid. And we had this project day, and the project day went terribly. And I was so devastated as a kid, this project we're doing, and it was a disaster, and it was broken, and I was heartbroken because it was my favorite subject, and I really wanted it to go well, poor me, all those kind of things. But anyway, I went home, and it's interesting, I'd fairly recently become a Christian at this stage. And I thought, I'm just going to pray about this. I'm going to ask God for help because I feel really rubbish about this. And it's one of my early experiences of prayer as a young person. It's one of the early ones I can remember. And I prayed, Lord, I'm so devastated. Please, if it's possible, could we get in tomorrow and could we have a fresh start? Could we do the project again? Now, this is small fry, okay? This is a nothing thing. But this is what I learned. I got into school the next day and the teacher stood up and he said, Do you know what? We had such a bad day yesterday. I think we're going to start again. Now, that's just a little thing about prayer. But here's the thing. Can you imagine the relief in me that we might actually begin to do this again? Because I'd messed it up so badly. But there was a new day, a new beginning. Friends, we're not stuck in the mess of a bad design and technology project. But actually, we are stuck in the mess of a world that has turned its back on God. And the Lord Jesus, in his love for us, says, I'm going to give you a new start. I'm going to give you new birth. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. Come and join my family. That is his love. That is the love that he has for runaway rebels. Second, though, what does his love do for us? Well, it doesn't just give us a new start. His love works in us a new character. See, look at verse 11. This is what's happened to Onesimus. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to you. But now he has become useful both to you and to me. Now, many of us will have seen those kind of before and after programs, won't we? So I think I caught the end of a DIY SOS. I think it was on last week or something. And they were transforming this house, a house that had been in a mess, half decorated, didn't quite complete. And then people come in and they work at it and it becomes this beautiful place to live. Now, in a similar way, we see that the love of Jesus transforms this man, Onesimus, a before and an after. In other words, there is a character change going on. In his love, Jesus doesn't just give us a new start and then say, there you go, don't mess it up again. No, he doesn't do that. In his love for us, he works in us a new character. He does internal change to us, a process that he begins and continues throughout our lives. See, look again at verse 11. Here's the before and after. Look at the before. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to you. Formerly, once, he was useless. Now, this isn't just Paul being rude. We tend to use this in a very rude way, don't we? You are a useless so-and-so. He's not being rude. Actually, he's naming the facts. Actually, when it comes to Onesimus being a slave in the household of Philemon, was he any good? No, because he wasn't there. He'd run away. He was useless to Philemon. Because he wasn't doing the job he'd set out to do. His own selfishness, his own desire to grab for himself had made him useless to Philemon and to Philemon's household. He'd run away. Now, what happened? Well, look at the next phrase. He was useless to you, but now he has become useful, of benefit, or beneficial to you and to me. He's a benefit to those around him. That is because Jesus has started in his love to work in Onesimus a change of heart, a change of character. Maybe Onesimus had stayed with Paul for a little while and had started to become part of this great preaching work that Jesus does. That Paul does, preaching Jesus to others. Maybe Onesimus was engaged in that task and he'd become useful. Also, just at a really practical level, we discover two things about Paul in this letter, don't we? Where was he? Anyone remember? In chains. He's in prison. You can't do much when you're in chains, so you might need a bit of help. And what else do we discover about him? Look at verse 9. What is he? He's an old man. And we don't want to make any presumptions on that, but that may mean that he needed a bit of help with stuff. And so here is Onesimus who's become useful. He stopped thinking about himself, and he's now thinking about Paul. He's become useful, of benefit. And as Jesus gives us a new start, he then, friends, starts to work in Onesimus is like us, a new character, that we become of benefit to those around us. We become of benefit to the people in our homes, perhaps. in our families, because we are thinking differently. We are not thinking just about ourselves, but we're thinking about others. We become of benefit to the workplace. We've just done a whole series on work. And when somebody starts to live with Jesus as Lord in their workplace, you become of great benefit to those around you because you want to serve. You're humble. You work with integrity. And so people trust you. You become beneficial, useful. And actually, we become useful in the church. We become useful in our serving and our speaking and our praying and our loving and our giving. Jesus works on our characters, changing us from those who perhaps lean towards being takers towards those who want to be givers. He works a likeness to him in us, a likeness to Jesus. See, in his love, Jesus can change even the most useless, unbeneficial of people into useful people. That is what he does. That's his part of his love to us. Useful, whether that's in the mission of Jesus in spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, or useful in serving inside the church, or useful in our homes. Friends, maybe there are things in your life this morning as you sit here that you think, boy, I wish this would change in my character. Maybe there are things you've been wrestling with in your life and you're just thinking, oh, I wish that would just go away, or I wish I'd improve at those things. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus, in his love, wants to help you change? That's what he does. He changes our characters. And so ask for his help. Ask him. Ask him to make you useful, not useless, in certain parts of our character. So Jesus, in his love, you still with me? Onesimus is like us. Well, he gives us a new start. He works in us a new character. And thirdly, he joins us to a new family. I don't know if you noticed as we read and as Chris read through the letter, but it's just so filled with family language, isn't it? Did you notice that? So we've already considered together Onesimus, verse 10, has become Paul's son. There's family language. But look especially at verse 16. You see, he says, welcome him home, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Paul says that the love of Jesus has changed Onesimus from being a slave into a sibling, from being someone who is outside of God's family to being a brother in the Lord. The love of Jesus takes those who are far away and he joins them into his family. He welcomes us with open arms. Now, I'm sure you can see where this is going. You see, if Jesus would give someone a new start, and if Jesus would patiently work in us a new character, and if Jesus would join us into his family, Philemon, will you do that for Onesimus? Will we do that for people who walk through the doors of this church? See, friends, the love of Jesus for runaway rebels doesn't just forgive us and then kind of endure with us. No, he joins us into his family. Church is family. Can you just let that sink in for a minute? Some of us have heard that so many times, it's just bouncing off of us today. But church is family. People who follow Jesus are family. You know, we're not pretending. It's not a marketing ploy to make the church sound really trendy and attractive. Come and join the family. You know, like if you work for Disney, apparently you're called a member of the cast, whether you sweep the floor or whether you serve in the shop or whether you're actually in a film. Everyone who works for Disney is called a member of the cast. It's their kind of marketing ploy, help everyone feel part of it. You know, let's call ourselves a family because then we'll all feel like, ooh, yeah, we're a family. No, it is not a marketing ploy. It is a fact. We are family, and we are made a family at a great cost. You know, Ephesians 1 tells us he predestined us. God predestined us, decided beforehand for our adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ as he gave his life for us. It's a costly joining of a family. See, friends, if you let that sink in, what amazing love for runaway rebels like us. Love that would give people like us a new start, wipe the slate clean, give us a new life, love that would work on our characters, love that would join us to his family. And friends, just as we finish up this morning, I want to, maybe just as we walk away, give us some things that we can take away from just seeing this lived out this morning. And the first thing I want to say to you is if you've experienced that love, then this morning, don't leave here with a cold heart. Praise God this morning for his love to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to point the fingers at others and miss the fact that Jesus has shown this love to me. I am an Onesimus, and I have been loved by Jesus. I have been given a new start. Jesus is working on my character. And Jesus is the one who has joined me to his family. You see, when Paul finishes preaching on this in Romans, another letter he wrote, he bursts out at the end of one of the chapters and he just says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. He just spills over in praise. Were you this morning? If you see this love is the love that Jesus has shown to you, praise him this morning. Thank him. Worship him. I want to say to some of you there this morning that actually maybe the thing you need to do this morning is come to Jesus and experience this love. You see, Jesus hounds people down. You see, maybe you're sitting in church this morning and you might be thinking, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. But if that is you, maybe it's that Jesus from heaven is putting you in the right place where you will hear the gospel so that he can extend his love to you. Will you come to him this morning? Will you come to him and let him give you a new start, to wipe your slate clean, as it were, to put things right? Will you let him work on your character? Will you let him join you into your family this morning? Do that. Don't walk out of here. Don't see lived out in Onesimus, in this personal situation, a love for rebels, and leave here this morning without at least engaging with that, making a choice about that. And the third thing I want to say, maybe a takeaway for us today, is this. Pray for the Onesimuses that you know in your life. I'm an Onesimus. You're an Onesimus. But we do have Onesimuses around us, don't we? I asked you at the beginning, who would you least expect to see walk into church and to sit down next to you? Who would you least expect to tell you they've become a follower of the Lord Jesus? Pray for them. Whatever name was on your list, pray for them. If Jesus can love me, and if Jesus can love you, and Jesus can love an Onesimus like we see in this letter, then he can and he wants to love the Onesimuses that we know in our lives, however hard they may seem to the gospel, however far they may be from the Lord Jesus, whether that is a spouse or a parent or a child or somebody we know, a friend, a work colleague. Pray for them. Pray that God would bring them into contact with someone who has the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ so that they too might believe and receive this unbelievable, life-changing love of Jesus for runaway rebels. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment's quiet, maybe just to respond in our own hearts, perhaps in one of those three ways, maybe just to praise him this morning for his love to you and Onesimus. Maybe you need to respond this morning and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I've run away from you. Please forgive me. Please love me. Maybe in a moment's quiet, we want to pray for the Onesimuses that we know around us. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you this morning so much for the great love that Jesus has for runaway rebels like us. Thank you that he left heaven and came to earth, that we might be welcomed home, welcomed back to your family, that we might be forgiven. Father, thank you for the new start that you have given to many of us in this room, that you have given us new life, that you've put to death our old life, as it were, that you've wiped away the debts of our sins before you. Father, however those sins have expressed themselves, whether that's in a wild way or perhaps just inside the hearts, the attitudes of hearts, Lord, we thank you that in Christ we have been forgiven. And Father, we ask, please, that we would continue to know the work of Jesus in our characters. Father, each of us probably has things in our own character we'd long to see change, that we might be useful to others. Lord Jesus, please be doing that work in us. And thank you that you've joined us to this local church family. Thank you that you've joined us to the universal family. Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us new family that is your family and will be yours eternally. Lord, please help us to love one another as family. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.